For a few weeks, I've been talking to you about more. That's been our theme, our series, that more that God has for us. And the first week I shared was about hungering for God. There can always be more, but if you're not hungry for it, it doesn't mean anything. How many have ever eaten one serving of meal and you weren't hungry, but there might have been more? How many have found you've eaten and you were hoping there was more? Well, listen, with God, there's always more. You just got to hunger for it. A second message I talked about was a week that we used our kids, and we talked about talents and abilities. There's more we can do, and I'm going to talk some of that about that today. But in the kingdom work, we need to be using our gifts. The third week was Easter and Resurrection Sunday, and I appreciate Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. But did you know all of that's good, but there's more? Is his life in you. And so we need to desire that. Last week I talked about more in regards to healing, the full atonement of the cross, because we believe that healing is for today. Today I'm going to wrap up this series and this title of more, but it doesn't mean that we do not continue to seek more. Just because I end a series doesn't say you end your life of seeking more. This was to stir that, to awaken that, so you would go after more. Next week, I am going to preach a message, though, that hopefully will reset the tone of our hearts and our vision as a church for why we exist. And then in 2 weeks, I'm going to start another series called Soul Detox, Clean Living in a Contaminated World. I'm doing this book on Wednesday night. But I'm going to do a four-week series with you on Sunday mornings, and I'll tell you more about that. I have ordered books because I feel like this is so important for us in this day. Church, we need to live clean. We need to live clean. And it's a contaminated world, and if we're not careful, its toxins will get on us. So I'll be sharing that with you. But today I want to talk about more in regards to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me start with a little story this morning. I want you to imagine the master carpenter. Who would the master carpenter be? Jesus, of course. But his tools are holding a conference. Hint, the tools represent you. All right. What happens is Brother Hammer gets up and he presides over the meeting. But then several begin to suggest that he leave the meeting because he's too noisy. Brother Hammer replies, "If I have to leave the shop, Brother Screw must go also. You have to turn him around again and again to get him to accomplish anything." Brother Screw spoke up and said, "Well, if you wish, I'll leave. But Brother Plain must go also. All his work is on the surface. His efforts have no depth." To this, Brother Plain began to respond, "Brother Ruler will have to leave also. He's always measuring folks as though he were the only one who was right." And Brother Ruler began to complain about Brother Sandpaper. "He ought to leave. He's rough, always rubbing people the wrong way." And so goes the discord. In the midst of all the discussion, the master carpenter walks in. He puts on his apron, he begins to go to the bench and begins making a pulpit from which to proclaim the gospel. He uses Brother Hammer and Brother Screw and Plane and Ruler and Sandpaper and all the tools. And after a day's work, the pulpit was complete. And Brother Saul stood up and remarked, "Brothers, I think we ought to observe this, that all of us are workers together with the master carpenter." Unfortunately, these tools can think they're more important than the other tool. We can think that our job, our abilities are greater. But I want you to know that God made every one of us, and we are all important, every one of us. He has given us talents. He's given us abilities. He's given us character qualities so that we can bring him glory in everything we do. And God also, though, wants to give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts are to do the work, to equip the saints so we can do what he's called us to do. And the operation of the Holy Spirit in the church is as he desires. Before we go to our text this morning, you can go ahead and turn there if you brought your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me just take a moment and set the context of chapter 12. This is a letter written to Corinth. It's written to the church. And I want us to see that this church had a lot of problems. They had a lot of difficulties. The church was filled with things like division, arguments, lawsuits, immorality. On top of that, there was confusion about marriage. That's going on in our world today. Food sacrificed to idols, worship, the Lord's Supper, the resurrection, giving, and of course, even our topic today was discussed, spiritual gifts. In particular, what was going on with that is some of them thought they were more important than others because they had some spectacular gifts. And when Paul writes this letter to the church, he is attempting to address all of these issues that the church was dealing with. And today, and this morning, you need to know I am so glad that we are not dealing with some of the issues that the Corinthians were dealing with. And church, you can say amen to that. But I think it's important for us to understand the operation of the Holy Spirit. And it should exist in the church. The operation of the Holy Spirit should exist in the church. In chapter 12, verse 1 there, of 1 Corinthians, it teaches us five things. Here they are. And I'm going to go through them. Be informed about spiritual gifts. Number 2, be influenced by the Holy Spirit. 3, understand the diversity of the gifts. 4, identify your spiritual gift. And 5, implement your gift in service. Number 1, be informed about spiritual gifts. When we come to 1 Corinthians, you can read chapters 12 through 14 that's all about this. And we see that Paul wanted them to have a proper understanding of how the spiritual gifts operate in the corporate setting. The church at Corinth desperately needed that instruction, and so do we. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, here's what's written. Now about the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Goes on in verses 4 to 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Heavenly Father, help us with understanding today. Help us to be informed, and then help us to have a willingness to be used more. Amen. Let me define spiritual gift this morning. This doesn't come from a dictionary. It's just a heart definition. That spiritual gifts are divine abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer, according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. There's a difference between spiritual gifts and natural abilities. And it's important to recognize that spiritual gifts, though, are given by the Holy Spirit as he sees fit. Whereas natural talent is something that we're born with, or maybe it's something we developed as we grew up. But we must yield our talents, our abilities to the work of the Lord. That's what they're for. But we are also to stay open to the work now of the Holy Spirit as believers, so that we can be used as he sees fit. Now, if you were to go through the New Testament, I've done so, and add up the spiritual gifts that are listed, you come up with about 20. These gifts are found in 4 books of the New Testament. Here they are in Romans chapter 12. You can read about the motivational gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what we're reading today. Ephesians 4, these are gifts to the church, the apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. And then in 1 Peter 4, you can read about these gifts. These gifts, though, I don't believe are exhaustive. They weren't meant to be exhaustive. And by the way, church, there could even be more. I do not want to box the Holy Spirit in. I believe in Scripture, but I also believe in the operation of the Holy Spirit and how He moves. And I don't believe these were listed to be exhausted. But this morning, I want to simply take what was listed and put it into three gift groupings. This being the first group, speaking gifts, like the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, prophecy, evangelism, pastor and teacher. These are all speaking gifts. They're all speaking to the lives of other people. And some of them sometimes don't like the prophet because they're kind of noisy, like Mr. Hammer. There's also service gifts, administration, encouragement, faith, giving, help, serving, and mercy. We need these. They help serve us and minister to us. And then there's sign gifts. These are distinguishing of spirits, miracles, healings, tongues, interpretation of tongues. They're signs. Now, as we look at this list or this topic of spiritual gifts, it is important to be informed. Aren't you glad? I don't want you to be ignorant. That's what Paul says. I don't want you to be uninformed. But you'll need to do more than just be informed and just hear it this morning. You will need to seek the Holy Spirit and then ask Him to use you. Let me take you to the second point. Why? Because we need to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. In verse 2 and 3, Paul challenges us to be influenced, and let me say it this way, exclusively by the Holy Spirit. He should be the only influence in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 12, 2 and 3, you know that when you were pagans, how many were pagans? Whether you knew it or not, at some point you were a pagan. You say, well, I grew up in a Christian home, I wasn't a pagan. Listen, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Whether you realize it or not, we have all been led astray. We have all sinned. We have all come short of the glory of God. We've allowed other things to influence us. In verse 3, Paul says, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. I want you to say, Jesus is Lord this morning. You say that by the Holy Spirit. It's been revealed. It's made known to you. You didn't know that until He brought you to that knowledge. When we come to this topic, again, of spiritual gifts, our focus, though, must be on the giver and not the gifts. It is so important for us to understand the seeking is the giver. Not what you think you want, but it's as He determines. Unfortunately, the Holy Spirit, though, in churches is often neglected today. And Paul is reminding us, before we were saved, we were led astray by our emotions and our false doctrines. But now, as believers, the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers and energizes us for ministry. Because no one can confess the lordship of Jesus unless he was led by the Spirit. And I believe it would be imprudent for us to try and improve our serving Christ without being led by the Spirit. Can you imagine? I'm saved by the leading of the Holy Spirit, but I've got it from here on. Absolutely not. I want to be led by the Spirit. Galatians 5, 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's an ongoing relationship. The Holy Spirit blows like a wind through surrendered lives. I want you to hear what Jesus tells Nicodemus in John chapter 3 about being born again. He says in verse 6, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Jesus says, you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. As we're born of the Spirit is blowing, and we can't tell exactly where it's going or where maybe it came from, but we are led by it. Churches, we continue to seek the Lord in this place. We need to continue to allow Him to be the only exclusive influence in our lives. He will move us into deeper worship. Have you ever been in a worship service and you kind of lifted your hands and said, Lord, I love you. Lord, you love me. All of a sudden, that was the Holy Spirit just speaking truth to you. And all of a sudden, it began to move you to deeper worship. Oh, Lord, because you love me, I thank you. And Lord, and that's that moving. That's the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you need to recognize that. It wasn't you that came up with that idea. It wasn't you who came up with the idea of worship. It was the Holy Spirit says there is a God in heaven and you are to be humbled and he's to be exalted. You are to give him thanks. That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And we need to allow him to move us into a deeper worship, but also into a deeper ministry. That's what God wants to do in his body. Why? Because we need to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. But thirdly, we need to understand the diversity of the gifts. Paul challenges us to understand that the gifts of the Spirit are different. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. The key in all of these verses here is the word different. There are different kinds of gifts, different ways to serve, different workings of God. There's not just one gift that fits every believer. The word gifts in verse 4 is from a Greek word, charismata, which is the root word for grace. These are grace gifts. They flow out of us. They're to minister to others. They're divine abilities to be used by us but distributed by the Holy Spirit. There's different kinds of service in verse 5. The word speaks of opportunities to express ourselves in using the gifts. The word working refers, in verse 6, refers to results or the accomplishments that come when we use our gifts. Whether or not we ever see the results, God does. In fact, we get our word energy from this Greek word that you find here in verse 6 of working. When we serve according to our giftedness, God gives us the energy, the working, and we're to be energized to serve. Philippians 2:13 reminds us, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Because God is at work in us, church, we can accomplish his purposes. But Paul reminds us and challenges us, you need to understand the diversity of these gifts. We minister differently because we're gifted differently. The same God is at work in all of us, but he customizes his work through us for his ultimate glory. Let me illustrate something. We have Sunday lunches every once in a while, and let me just take you into the gym for a moment, and somebody is carrying a dessert plate back to their table, but they drop it, and it all falls on the floor. This is how people with different gifts would minister. The gift of prophecy would step up and say, that's what happens when you're not careful. You ever ran into that person? The gift of service, though, comes along and says, oh, let me help you clean it up. The gift of teaching says, the reason it fell was because it was too heavy on one side. The exhortation gift of that says, next time maybe you should let someone else carry it for you. The gift of giving steps up and says, here, you can have my dessert. The gift of mercy says, oh, don't feel too bad. It could have happened to any of us. The gift of administration steps up and says, Jim, would you get the mop? Sue, please help clean this up. Mary, could you get them another dessert? We've all been gifted differently. And so we act differently and we serve differently. And some people say, well, I don't like the way they said it. It's just their gift. We need to understand we are gifted differently. And it's okay. Friends, this church has every gift that is needed in order to function as God has desired us to, because it says that God is the one who puts his church together. But just imagine for a moment, what if everyone in this place would use their gifts, not just their natural abilities, but the gifts of the Spirit that have been distributed, what if they were used to their full extent in this place? Wow. What if? What a place this would be. Church, there is more, but we have to desire it. Let me remind you what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:9. But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Here's an exciting truth you need to understand, church. You have permission. You have permission to minister in this church. People go, that gets scary. That's why we have the other gifts. And it balances. The pastor will come along. The teacher will come along. We'll do the correcting. That's what Paul is having to do here. We'll learn. But I'd rather see them in operation and moving than for us to do nothing. You've been saved in order to serve, church. What's next? Number four, identify your gift. Identify your spiritual gift. First of all, we're to be informed. I've informed you there are spiritual gifts. You're to be influenced by the Holy Spirit, not by other things, not wanting what everybody else has, but what does the Holy Spirit want? I understand there is a diversity of all these gifts, but next I'm to identify my spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12:7-10. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. These verses, I believe, teach us two things very simply. Every born-again believer has been given the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, he said, now to each one. You need to know that the Spirit wants to give every Christian at least one gift. You ought to at least be operating in one of these. Paul makes this point in 1 Corinthians 7:7. Listen, I wish that all of you were as I am. But each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. We all have a gift. But the second thought in this passage is this. We've been given that gift for the common good of the church. Ephesians 4:16 says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. What? As each part does its work. Each part. The gifts these grace gifts are given to each of us, but we have to do our part. In fact, I remember back in the early 90s, I was playing basketball and I broke my joint here on my pinky. And I'm a tennis player. Don't play as much anymore, but I like getting out there. But I didn't realize what had happened until I got back on the court after it had healed. They had to fuse my joint, so I lost the joint. I don't know if you can tell the difference, but I lost a good 3/8 of an inch, and because the joint had to be fused. Well, I got back on the tennis court, and I'm holding my racket, and I hit the first ball, and the racket almost comes out of my hand because one little joint that was that locking grip on that handle. One little joint. Now, the body learned to function eventually and say, I need to do this to hold it a little stronger, or others got stronger. But sometimes we don't realize the power of one joint. Church, every one of you has been gifted. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. If you need some help in figuring this out, say, what are my giftings? What should I function? I have some helps for you today. In fact, I have a few things. There's a table just out there, just out the center doors, and I know everybody's going to flood it when it's over, so somebody stand there and hand them out. But I have several different spiritual gift testings. This is just one of them. This is one I brought up because this is for the men. Why? Because it's only 42 questions. The others have 100, and, you know, it's like, oh. So I put one out there. It's really, really simple. Because, church, I want you to define. You'll find ones that have a lot of different showing gifts of music and other things, because I think all of these natural abilities need to be determined as well. Not just the spiritual gifts, but also all your natural gifts. Why? Because we want to get them involved. And so I've given this out there. If we run out, I'll print more next week. But they're out there, and there's one for the youth. There's a youth one out there. It says youth on it. That will help you to know which one. If you're not a youth, don't take that one. But sometimes there are things that youth need to hear it a little bit different. So there's some spiritual gift testings, as well as I have another page out there. If you're the online person, and I don't want to do a hard copy. There are three sites I've given you that have free spiritual gift testings. So you can hit either one of these or hit them all. Take all the tests. Evaluate what God has put in you. And say, Holy Spirit, because I think the problem with a lot of times we haven't identified it. It's there. You just hadn't identified what that gift is. So these are there for you. So that paper's out there as well. After you've taken that, examine the gifts that seem to rise to the top. And then experiment with it. Some people are afraid of experiments. I'm not. I like change. I'm like, throw lights on the platform. I'm working on, I'm trying in my head, revision this and rethink it. I like change, church. I think we need to try things. You need to try your giftings. You say, well, all right, let me try the nursery. Well, it's not my gift. Thank God for the whole body of Christ and all the different gifts. But you know what? Sometimes you may walk in there and go, this is my heart. That kid they don't even talk back. This is great. Church, I think we got to experiment with it. And you say, well, Pastor, it's going like we're band-aiding. No, I'm letting you experiment. I want you to find out, where are you gifted? Right now with our church launch happening, we're needing some other gifts to rise up in our children's department. We're going to be giving you a list of that. But I need you to find that. I need you to stir within you. And if it's just for a season, that's okay. I'm okay with that, because I want you to find out where you fit, what you should be doing, where you should be used, corporately in here, physically out there, practically in programs, wherever. I want you to be used. Let's experiment. Let's find out. We're coming to a great season of the spring and the summer. Let's just test it out and see what God can do through us. Amen? Because he's the one who gave you these gifts in the first place. And that leads me to number five, of course, implement your gift. Well, it's important to identify it. It's not enough. Oh, I'm gifted to serve, but I think I'll sit right here. Take the test again, okay? Gifts are to be used. Verses 12 to 30, and I'm not going to read that to you today, but in 1 Corinthians 12, describe how the church is like a human body, each part being critical to the function of the body. You've been given gifts and a key role to play in this church. But until we implement the gifts, our church, listen, will not mature like it's supposed to. Until every joint and every ligament does its part, then if church grows up and it matures, that's what I want, church. And God will give us other gifts and other seasons and other times. Others talk to me about, well, what if I start this ministry? Great, start it. What if it fails? It fails. Think Peter failed a few times and got back up? I'm okay with ministries being for seasons, church. Everything does not last forever. The only thing that lasts forever is Jesus. Everything else is attempts and workings of the Spirit and the working of God to reach people. I don't need to go back and do what we did way back to say we just need to repeat that. We need the influence of the Holy Spirit today to do what He's gifted you to do. I loved bus ministry. We had a bus ministry at one of the churches I went to, and I went with my older brothers, and we knocked on doors, and we picked up kids. We couldn't even do that today. Can you imagine? I want to come by and pick up your kid and take him to church. Let me get my lawyer, and we'll work through this. It just doesn't work. Do you understand? There are seasons. But there was a time when bus ministry was incredible. It was a season. Today, we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit so we can reach Northville. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to reach Livonia and Westland and Garden City and Farmington and Farmington Hills and Novi and Southline and wherever else you're from, Belleville, everywhere. Where? Louisville, no, I missed it. Plymouth, Canton, Kalamazoo. Where did that one come from? Kalamazoo needs to be reached. Now church, until we operate and implement those gifts, it won't happen. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12:14. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. The foot needs the hand. The ear needs the eye. We all need each other. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. You're needed in this church. You're needed in this church. God has gifted you, and now He wants to use you. Don't allow yourself to think you don't matter. You matter. There's no one person that can do it all, but everyone working together, we can accomplish what God's called us to. So what's your gift box look like? I'm thankful personally for the different gifts that the Holy Spirit has given me, some of my natural talents, some of my developed abilities, and my spiritual gifts. I'm grateful for them. And in my office, I have things that are there that help remind me of my gifts. And so I'm going to bring some of them up. Pastor Matt, can you grab that box? Let me start here. Yeah, I just said it there. One of the things I have in my office is pictures of my family. There's my darling wife. Isn't that great? My girl looked at it this morning, though. I said, I'm going to bring that in. And the frame is all beat up, sweetheart. And it doesn't mean that I throw it down or anything. And then I have pictures of my family. Why? Because I'm called to be a pastor, but first to my family. In church, I've watched too many ministers fall. And I'm going to keep my family around me. In church, you need to keep your family around you. Your first ministry is to your family. I love church, but your first ministry is to your family. Church, I'm going to love my family. In fact, the Bible says that's what I'm supposed to do as a pastor and a leader and an overseer. Is I need to take care of my own family. So they come first. But something else is also there in my office I keep is another thing. It's called a pictorial directory because I'm a pastor to these people. One of the things that we didn't do in this particular directory is put all those pages in here with all our programs and pictures of our children and all that, because church isn't about programs, it's about people. And church, I want to pastor you well. And you're in my heart. I pray for you. There's times the Holy Spirit drops you on my heart and I just give a phone call. And you say, well, I never got a phone call. It doesn't mean I don't pray for you. Now I feel obligated to call everybody this week. I might just do so. There's another little, I don't know, call it a toy or whatever. It's called a Newton's cradle. It sits in my office and I keep moving it around. But it has a unique reminder for me. I did a message way back and I talked about our potential. It was the one with the ladder. Everybody remembers the ladder and the bowling ball. But this was also part of that message. And what it reminds me of is evangelism. You say, why does that remind you of evangelism? One of the things with evangelism is it's one of those things that kind of starts in your life and it's really good, but it kind of dies out. You just, man, I believe in evangelism. But because it kind of dies out, I have a reminder. I have to stir it once again. And I have to keep that. There's potential there, but I have to stir it. I have the gift. I love evangelism, but I have to again and again stir that in my life. Another one, though, is I have a gift from a missionary. And this came from Jared Dietrich. And to remind us to pray for Mongolia. And I think it's cool. I'm like, could he have made it any bigger? I mean, like, I think it's great. But it's to remind me of missions. I have other little trinkets from missions trips that remind me of where I've been and to pray for those missionaries and to reach out. That missions is part of my heart. It's part of my call, part of what I'm to do. Along with all of this, so I've got one other picture I hangs in my office, and it's this picture here of a pastor sitting in his study. This was a gift from the church in Canada when I left there, and I remember I wept when I received this, but it's Jesus washing the feet of this minister, and it talks about serving the servant, and that's really one of my gifts. I want to serve well. And I need to remember that Jesus washes my feet every day. And I want to wash your feet. I want to serve you. I want to love you. And this reminds me, and it's one of those that when I walk through my door, I have positioned it right there. Because every day, I got to remember this. I don't know what reminders you have. I don't know. Some people use missionary prayer cards and put them up there. It's just a reminder to pray because you have a heart for missions. Church, I don't know what your giftings are, but I am doing my very best, and I don't know if this is the best message to do this with. I don't know how well I presented it, but if anything, I want to stir us to do something. I'm so excited about Garden City, what's happening there. And I made a comment in first service, and I'll repeat it, that sometimes those people who were there, there's some of you here today, and it got really small, and it was just tiny. And many times you're going, God, what's going on? And yet the whole time, God said, I've got gifts. I've got some things I'm doing, and I'm working, and I'm doing my timing, not yours. I'm doing my timing. And all of a sudden, God begins to put those gifts back together. Why? Because he's got a purpose. I don't know what the history of this church and all its ups and downs and everything it may have been through, everything you may have been through. But church, it's time to reevaluate and be influenced again by the Holy Spirit and let those gifts stir up. I want in corporate setting for these gifts to be released. I want the power gifts to be released. Say, well, that could get a little crazy. It's okay. Paul goes on for two more chapters of how this operates corporately to give us a little bit of management so that it doesn't get out of hand. But church, I'd rather be dealing with it and seeing signs and wonders and things happening in people's lives because God's Spirit is moving in his people. So I've gotten where I want to stir us. I want to wake us up. Pastor Matt, would you come? I wish I could shake you. I wish I could speak into you and say, this is your gift. But that's the work of the Spirit. And that's why you got to seek him. That's why you got to go after him. If you want more, you go after God. If you say, God, I wish there was more, there is. That's what the message is about. I don't want you to be uninformed. Today I didn't teach what the gifts are and how they exactly maybe function. I'm just waking us up. Next week I'm going to do a message that I'm trying to reset us. I'm trying to do a restart a little bit. We need to, every once in a while we got to clean, pull the plug out, clean it off and put it back in. And the first time we pull it, it doesn't always fire. Right? Only the guys understood that illustration. Oh, we're like, what? A lawnmower, right? You pull out the plug, it gets oily, clean it off. You put it back on, you shove the little wire back on it. I'm trying to somehow say, God, help us. I'm going to go ahead and let you in on it. Ready? Next week, I'm going to be talking about pursuing His presence, pursuing His power, and pursuing His purpose. And you're going to see these banners because I'm going to plaster us with it. We have got to get this in our mind, but we've got to pursue it. We have got to go after it, His presence. And then I'm going to go through this 4 weeks of soul detox because I want His presence to live in you. And where there's filth, it just doesn't mix with the presence of God. He wants a church without spot or wrinkle. So church, I'm calling you. I'm saying, church, rise up. We have been called of God. We have been equipped by God. We have gifts to be used by God so He can take His church, unite it together, build it up, cause it to mature so we can go and reproduce itself again. That's what it's about. Church wasn't made to exist to run out, but to perpetuate until He comes. Amen.